Welcome, you're with Evie and Lee here on Hills Radio 88.9. We have a special guest in today, David Inglis, mountaineer, cycling extraordinaire through the mountains of Europe. But more, the reason we've really got him here is because he's a senior partner of I2 Advisory and Accountancy Firm in Adelaide, and he is a tax and super specialist, and we need to speak more about it. Welcome, Dave, to our little program.
Thank you,
Lee. Now, what I need to know before we even get into the super thing, Dave, there are so many taxation and super rules and regulations. How do you fit it all into your brain?
I don't. I don't even try to, but I only can hope to try remember a little portion and look up the rest when I need to.
Now, super is on everybody's lips at the moment because there's lots of changes coming in. We've been having a bit of a chat off air. Why do they need to change? What was the problem in the first place, Dave, with the super?
Well, the problem in the first place probably started in 2007 when John Howard's budget introduced a whole lot of concessions for people with money in superannuation, which effectively meant that if you were over 60 and your superannuation was in what they call pension phase, you paid no tax on the earnings of the super fund and no tax on it coming out. And it was effectively a tax-free environment for people who were able to put money into superannuation. And it was too good to be true, and something had to happen. And so the government's been trying to work out a way of sort of coming back from that.
I don't see any problem with it. Did you see any problem with it? I saw no problem with it.
Very good.
But the problem is, though, it's the rich that were the ones that were benefiting the most, I suppose, with this.
They would be the ones benefiting the most, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And effectively with... you know, super funds own companies, public companies, and public companies pay company tax, and then they pay what they call frank dividends, which come back to the super funds. So a lot of the company tax was also flowing back to people in super funds tax-free. So not only were they not getting money from income on the super funds, but the government was effectively repaying a portion of the company tax, which was paid.
So they've shut that down then?
So they haven't shut it down fully, but they've limited it.
In what way?
Well, they've added a whole lot of new rules, very complicated, but most of them affect people with high balances in super funds, which is they've deemed to be $1.6 million. But it also people in transition to retirement, which is mostly people over the age of 60 who started a pension and may still be working. They've changed the taxation rules of those as well, which both of those will cut back those overall benefits.
So who is this really affecting? Is it the average wage earner, or is this the one that's earning, let's say, the 100,000 or 200,000 income?
It's affecting those with $1.6 million.
A
lump sum in super, which is still quite a bit of money. Mm. But the ones that are the more average person that affects are those who are in transition to retirement, which is could be anybody over 60, and they could have quite small balances who would move that, so they're taking a little bit out of their money in superannuation each year as a pension, and they now will need to pay tax on that at 15%.
I was going to say, what's the rate? It's 15,
whereas it was nil.
Nil
before these changes.
So just to, because you can put money in from your wages, and that would be taxed at the rate of 15%.
As you put it in, if you claim a tax deduction, yes.
And you can also put money in separately. So if you happen to have saved up, let's say, just $10,000, you could put $10,000 in your super fund. Now, if you take that $10,000 out on retirement, do you still get charged the 15% tax?
No.
Okay, so it's only the money you've put in at the low rate.
It's the money you've effectively claimed a tax deduction for, or someone's claimed a tax deduction for, is what you pay tax on the way out if you're taxable. Most people still won't be taxable on the way out if they take it out after age 60.
Is there, what's the so it's 1.6 million that you've got as a lump sum. Mm. Is there anything below that? Is there a scale that's working on this taxing, or up to that point you have no problems
at all? If you're over 65 and taking your money out as a pension, then there's no tax up to $1.6 million.
Okay.
So still very concessional, still great or not. It's still, it's been oversold as a bad thing. I still think it's super, still a great place to have your money if you can get in there.
What about topping up then? If you say you're at 1.55.
Yes.
And then you draw down 50 and then you just top up with 50 and you keep yourself. Is that going to be looked at?
I don't think that will be a problem as long as you're still able to put money in super,
yep.
way I understand. It's all hasn't gone through legislation at all this,
but okay.
Some of it, but I think you'll be able, as long as you keep your balance under 1.6, but even if you go over 1.6, it means that the tax rate on the earnings will be effectively 15%. So it's still better than if you've got a lot of money than having it in your own name.
It's a very complicated thing, Dave.
And it's extremely complicated.
One thing we did need to mention at the start here, this is general advice only, so please consider it as that. It's unpaid advice. So it's a very complicated thing. If people wanted to know more about it, really the specialist to go to it would be their accountant.
Yes.
They're going to be the super specialist. So keep that in mind. We're talking very broadly.
Yes.
And if you're in the position where you're an income earner at the moment and you need to make plans as to how much or how it's going to work for you, you might need to go and speak to your accountant. And similarly, if you're in the retirement stage and getting close to it, you also may want to go there and just confirm either way what's going to happen under new regulations.
Because does your house come into it? Do your belongings come into this?
No.
Okay.
Effectively, your house, you can't have your house in superannuation.
No, but I'm just saying, you know how they sometimes look at the overall thing, what you're worth, and then they start taxing you and doing things
Yes,
like
the
that.
House is exempt, isn't affected by the tax system, but also for people who are in receiving an age pension, your house is an exempt asset, so it's not tested for your age pension as well.
Mm. We've got lots more questions today. We're going to take a short break, and if you'd like to hang around, we'd love to have a bit more of a chat.
And joining us in the studio, or continuing to join us in the studio, is the senior partner from I2 Advisory, accountant David Inglis, who's giving us a great insight into superannuation and all the ins and outs of that. Now, we've spoken about it generally, David, but I'm wondering, what's self-funded funding?
Right. I think you mean self-managed.
That's
self-managed
That's
super
it.
Funds.
Yeah.
Basically where you set up a fund which you manage yourself. So you are the trustees of the super fund. You decide on all the investments.
Why would you do that?
It gives you a greater flexibility in the type of investments you can invest in. Like people will buy property. It can be more cost effective if you've got a reasonable amount of money in superannuation, which is probably $400,000. Sometimes the fees will be less in doing it yourself than paying a manager to manage that fund and administer the fund.
And if you're a bit savvy on investment, you might think that's a better way rather than trust the super fund to invest on your behalf.
Yes, and that's right. And also a lot of people, I would say husband and wives, will sort of be able to combine their investment to buy things within a self-managed super fund. So it gives them more flexibility.
Sounds risky to me.
What's the most popular way? I know people buy holiday homes with super funds.
No, you're not allowed to buy holiday homes if you're going to live in them or use them yourself.
If you rent them out?
If you rent them out, it's fine, but you're not allowed to stay in them yourself.
Oh, okay. Other than that, you have to pay your rent.
There can be no private benefit for an asset in a self-managed super fund.
Oh, okay. So you can.
It.
Wow. Yes. You were looking rich then for a minute.
Yeah.
So you can. I find it frightening that to me the whole concept of self-funding, because I can see you losing money unless you are, like Lee said, savvy. So immediately you can rent something, but you're not allowed to be in it. What other things can you do besides property?
Well, you can buy shares and financial investments.
So some you need people, to know that.
Some people will just set up a self-managed super fund and buy direct shares and managed investments as same as they would have if they had a portfolio with a normal.
Would you do it?
I've got one.
Okay,
I've got one. He's a guru. I just like it because it provides a lot more flexibility. If I can manage my own money, I can buy our office building, might buy us a part of that for our business to operate from.
Is there a saving, did you say, on the fees? And
saving on the fees, generally, depending on the fees you're paying. But typically a super fund will be 1% fees somewhere built in somehow.
But then wouldn't something like you've just spoken about, a building, wouldn't that go over the 1.6 threshold?
And
if you're self-managed, are you still going to be hit with the 15%?
it could do. Our building is, and I'm in that superannuation fund with my brother and our wives, so we've each got...
We
don't have 1.6 million each, I'd like to say.
Okay.
Before I get mugged in
the
street.
But, you can split that up. So yes, you can split that up between family and all correct. That sort of stuff.
Yes.
What happens if you are not getting on and you want a divorce?
Well, yeah, that's not a good idea. Self-managed super fund or any superannuation fund is an asset for a divorce, and it is messy. Wherever the super fund is or wherever your super money is, it can be very messy.
And so trying to get the money out to share
would be an issue. Yes, and how you separate funds. And stuff like that. Probably is more difficult in a self-managed super fund if you have joint assets in there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you, I know with the ones that we've had, they send you out a letter saying there's a beneficiary, you can actually nominate someone. Is that a legal binding one over, say, a will?
Yes, you are able to make a legal binding nomination as to who should receive the benefit from your superannuation, and my understanding is that overrides a will, and it is an important point, because if you don't make a proper nomination, then there's the ability for some superannuation fund trustees to decide who they wish to give the money to on the event of your death.
So the corporation itself can make the decision-making.
And there have been a number of cases where corporations or people who have taken control of self-managed super funds in the event of a death of a member who have given the money to people that other people don't agree with, and there's been big arguments.
Actually, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because everyone thinks about doing their will, but rarely do they think about doing their super fund, I imagine. It's not one of those things that really crop up. You think the will covers it.
Well, I would have thought, and it wasn't one of these letters that go out and saying, who are you nominating? Mm. But I wonder if that case, if you've nominated someone because you're going through the course of divorce... Mm. Whether that partner would not then take you to court over that. This is getting very complicated. Very complicated.
So, Dave, I'll ask the question. When
how much do you cost?
Yeah, indeed. And once again, we'll say this advice is just general advice, so don't take it as given. The one thing I was going to ask is if in the case of a death, and we need to cover this, what money comes back? Obviously, you don't get paid monthly or weekly like a normal super fund would pay. Is it the amount of principal that's there? Is that what goes to the beneficiary?
Pretty well, yes. You get each member has a balance of their fund,
right?
And that's what is paid out to the beneficiary.
Right, right. And would that work generally on a, when you retire, that balance you've got, you determine your interest on that would be. Let's say 5% of whatever they might be earning at the moment.
Yes.
And if you want to take some out of the principal as well, is that how much you can determine you get on a weekly or monthly basis from your super fund?
If you're in what they call pension phase, which is taken out, yes.
Yes.
Well, basically it goes on the total balance, and you take a portion of that total balance, which is all mixed together, being the money you've put in and the interest and earnings on that.
And it'll gradually come down over time.
As you take it down. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And depending on how long you think you're going to live, as to how much you reckon you should take.
Yes, you need to nominate a minimum. There's a minimum amount you can take each year and a maximum amount.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, how do you know? I'm starting to glaze over.
Yeah. Well, you know how much you need because you need to know how much you spend.
That's it. This is why I have to go to an accountant.
Yes.
Or a super fund manager, because this is like, oh, my God, I can't cope.
But there's some things we need the experts for, isn't it? Because this is just... It's just a labyrinth of information that we can't access.
It's very complicated.
And that's right. Yeah, that's why you pay them.
Yeah.
Because of their knowledge. And as you said, David, with the new regulations, you can't remember everything that's coming through. But you're the one that will cop it. Do you cop it? If you've stuffed up, will you cop it?
Yes, we do. We can be sued and we have, fortunately, touch wood,
haven't nothing to
it.
Well, I was just about to ask something, but as soon as you said that... So you've got a private superannuation fund. So yes. I'll use you as the example because you've said you do. Does that mean that only you can do it, or can I invest in your superannuation fund?
You can have up to four members in a private superannuation fund. So
and you don't have to be related, like Leonardo.
No, you don't have to be.
Okay.
It's not a good idea to have a super fund
with your friend.
But two superannuation funds can buy a building.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. So there's lots of...
So we can buy the front door.
Lee, your super fund and my super fund could buy...
I could buy the doormat.
And I just said, I'll have the door.
I was thinking I'd buy the knob and you'd buy the door.
Yeah. Now, Lee would get the knob.
Thank you. I think we'll end it all there. Well, Dave, it's been terrific of you to come in and talk to us today. Send us your bill when you get back.
And,
send
it to Crash.
To Hills Radio.
Yeah, donation to the Hills.
Yeah, we'll be glad to pay that. But no, seriously, it's been a pleasure to have you in and sort of uncover a few of the facts for us.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
It's a pleasure. So it's Dave Ingalls from I2 Advisory. So thank you once again.